Prithu by the professional reciters. We are going to do two verses, text 24 and text 25. Text 25 is on the board. I will recite 24. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I'll do 24. Eshoshva Medhan Shatam Ajahar Sarasvati Pradhur Bhavi Yatra Aharshid Yasya Hayang Purandara Shatakratush Charame Vartamane. Translation. At the source of the river Sarasvati, this king will perform 100 sacrifices known as Ashvamedha. In the course of the last sacrifice, the heavenly king Indra will steal the sacrificial horse. Now text number 25, which we will do responsively. Esha Shva Sadmo Pavane. Sadmo Pavane. Samitya Sanat Kumarang Bhagavantam Ekam Aradhya Bhaktyalabhatamalam Bhaktyalabhatamalam Taj Jnanang Yato Brahma Parang Vidanti Esha Sva Sadmo Pavane Sametya Sanat Kumarang Bhagavantam Ekam Aradhya Bhaktya Labhatam Alang Taj Jnanang Yato Brahma Parang Vidanti. Please chant. ladies. Anyone else? Esha, this king, Svasadma of his palace, Upavane in the garden, Sametya meeting, Sanat Kumar, Bhagavantam, the worshipable. Ekam, alone. Aradhya, worshipping. Bhaktya, with devotion. Alabhata, he will achieve. Amalam, without contamination. Tat, that. Jnanam, transcendental knowledge. Yata, by which. Brahma, spirit, param, supreme, or transcendental. Vidanti, they enjoy, or they know. Translation, please respond. This King Prithu will meet Sanat Kumar, one of the four Kumars, in the garden of his palace compound. The king will worship him with devotion and will be fortunate enough, and will be fortunate to receive instructions by which one can enjoy transcendental bliss. Purport, of course, by our grand spiritual master, the ISKCON founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The word Vidanti refers to one who knows something or enjoys something. When a person is properly instructed by a spiritual master and understands transcendental bliss, he enjoys life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 54, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na shochati na kangshati. When one attains to the Brahman platform, he neither hankers nor laments. He actually partakes of transcendental blissful enjoyment. Although King Prithu was an incarnation of Vishnu, he nonetheless taught the people in his kingdom to take instructions from a spiritual master who represents the disciplic succession. Thus, one can become fortunate and enjoy a blissful life even within this material world. In this verse, the verb vidanti is sometimes taken to mean, quote-unquote, understanding. Thus, when a person understands Brahman, or the supreme source of everything, he enjoys a blissful life. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Galo Nastiva, 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 Gatira Nita, Trinata Pisunichena, Toror Iva Sahishduna, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So, the professional reciters are predicting the future. And they've already mentioned two of the major events which will be studied in this fourth canto. The first one being the 100 horse sacrifices, or should I say 99, as will be revealed later. And then his meeting with the Sanat Kumar. These are the two prominent sections of this chapter besides of his going back home, back to Godhead, which is also glorious. So these professional reciters are predicting the future. But in Kali Yuga, we do not have such qualified future tellers. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when having his discussion with Chandkazi, said that in Kali Yuga, we don't find such potent brahmanas. Because Chandkazi was saying that we Muslims, we eat cow's flesh. And he said, what's the wrong? Because even in your Hindu scriptures, there is a cow sacrifice. So Lord Chaitanya responded, no, that cow sacrifice was not for the purpose of eating flesh. Lord Chaitanya explained that the brahmanas were so powerful that by their mantras, they would take an old cow, and either the cow would get a new, rejuvenated, new cow body, or immediately be promoted to the human form of life. Right there in the sacrifice, it would happen. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya said, apart from it not being killing, it's actually a great act of mercy. But then Lord Chaitanya pointed out, but in Kali Yuga, no Brahman is capable of this. Therefore, it is stated in the Shastras, five acts are forbidden in this age of Kali, one of which is the cow sacrifice and also the horse sacrifice. And we'll see, Preetu will perform 99 horse sacrifices with the assistance of the qualified Brahmins, potent Brahmins. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya taught that actually the only sacrifice which is recommended, approved, or actually capable of successfully being performed is Sankirtan. That's why his spiritual master told him at the time of initiation, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kivalam. Kalo nastyeva, 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 gatir anyata. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Which part of no don't you understand? It is only by chanting Sankirtan. And we see the very first verse of his Shikshastakam, Parang Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. As Prabhupada writes in one of his very, very early Bhakti Godhead articles, the seven-tongued Sankirtan movement. And through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya's great general, his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada gave a most expanded definition of Sankirtan. We have heard, even in this temple room, there was a bit of a controversy several years ago when a visiting person from the Gaudiya Math was trying to say that actually it's just japa. Do you remember that, Suradas? I think you vehemently protested. Is that correct? And rightly so. Yes. Not vehemently. So, his idea was, no, it's just japa. You just do japa. But Prabhupada, no. Japa is one aspect. But then there is the Brihat Madanga. In the beginning, the Brihat Madanga was, Prabhupada was sending all of his disciples to go out into the streets. In some cases, I heard firsthand, they were going out 10, 12 hours a day chanting on the streets. Then, sometime around 1972, Prabhupada instituted and started ordering his disciples to go for the even bigger Brihat Madanga, the book distribution. That was also Sankirtan. And then Prabhupada took it a step further. Yes, let us have hundreds and hundreds of these Govinda's restaurants. That is all. Everything we do in this movement is Sankirtan. Why? Because the only purpose of this institution, ISKCON, is to spread the message, the teachings, the glories of Lord Sri Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are a proselytizing movement. We're not here simply to do some yoga for our own personal benefit. We are here to get as many fallen conditioned souls, and don't worry, there's no dearth of fallen conditioned souls. There's a couple of million born every year. So our movement will never go out of business, because our business is to confront the fallen conditioned souls and induce them to join our Sankirtan movement in its manifold forms. Therefore, a foot soldier in this ISKCON army is convinced of this. The mission is clear. The mission is save myself. And how do I save myself? By also going out and trying to save as many fallen conditioned souls before as possible before I give up this particular bodily vehicle. We follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, who also had that same mood, that how can I think other than with compassion when I see the condition of the fallen souls? And we are, in this movement, we are always thinking, planning, scheming how to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. Sanat Kumar is mentioned in this verse today on the board, one of the four Kumaras. And the four Kumaras are considered Shakti Avesh avatars. You will find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada mentions in a particular purport, I believe he lists seven examples of Shakti Avesh avatars. So the four Kumaras, they are empowered with jnana, transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge can be understood in terms of Bhagavad Gita, as it is, as being knowledge of Brahman, spirit, knowledge of Paramatma, Krishna in the heart, and ultimately knowledge of Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Or, if you want to see it in terms of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, he explains transcendental knowledge as being sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. Understanding one's eternal relationship with Krishna, which has been forgotten by the conditioned soul, but which is there eternally. It's always been there. It will always be there. It's just that the conditioned soul has neglected or is in denial or has forgotten about it. Then, after one is convinced that, yes, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, then one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master who engages the disciple in practical activities which incorporate the body, mind, senses, and especially the voice, in activities which will reinforce that understanding that one is the eternal servant of Krishna. As Prabhupada writes in his Bhagavad Gita purports, action in knowledge strengthens knowledge. It's not simply theoretical or book knowledge, but we have to apply the knowledge. We have to walk the walk, talk the talk. Thank you. So that's abhideya, practical activities which cement in our consciousness, yes, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. And that leads us to the third tract. What is the ultimate result? What is the fruit of these activities? What is the fruit of this knowledge? And that is what Lord Chaitanya says, prema pumarto mahan. Love of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. What is the purpose of existence? The purpose of existence is to love God. The atheist will say, the purpose of existence is to experience as much possible pleasure that I can before I cease to exist. Because the atheist, by definition, does not believe in the immortal eternal soul, does not believe in God. The atheist believes, thus thou art and thus thou shalt return, and when death comes, no more me. But curiously enough, you ask them, so why are you living if the ultimate goal is that you simply die and exist no more? They will say, because I've asked them, I've asked atheists, I've met two very pure atheists in my life, solid, pure, 100% certified atheists, and they both said, well, simply, I am here to experience the most possible happiness. But Lord Chaitanya says, the purpose of existence is to love Krishna. And we say, if you're actually interested in happiness, then you should turn your attention to the teachings of mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are also experiencing the most possible happiness in this life. But we are not fools. We are not rascals. We understand by personal experience that trying to enjoy this body, mind, and senses in the material world proves ultimately to be frustrating. We are more intelligent. We understand, no, I am not going to settle for temporary sensual or sensory experiences which are limited. No, I want to experience the highest possible happiness which is eternal. And that is called Krishna consciousness, love of Godhead. Okay, I think that's enough. Now we can open the floor for discussions and challenges. Who would like to start the ball rolling at this time? Okay, bring the microphone to Govinda Datta Das.
Prabhu, can you comment on this where Srila Prabhupada explains that if one is properly instructed by a spiritual master and understands transcendental bliss, he enjoys life. So as devotees, if we think somehow by mental speculation or whatever the reason is, that we're not enjoying life, does that mean that we are either not instructed properly by our spiritual master or that we're not on the transcendental platform?
If you find yourself not enjoying life, that simply means that you are not applying the teachings properly, or you're not hearing properly. If one sincerely chants the holy name of God, one should be feeling some ecstasy. Otherwise, I'll say in your case, you've been chanting Hare Krishna since when? No, I mean in your life. In your life. You started what year? 73, 74? 74. So it is now 2006. That's what, 32 years? So are you to tell me that every day, without fail, for the last 32 years, you spend an hour and a half to 2 hours or more chanting something and you're not getting something from it? You're not a fool. You wouldn't continue with this unless you were getting something. And I'm sure you would agree with me that if for some reason you were slipping, not that you did, but if you experienced that you were slipping, you knew all I have to do is get back on track and take up the process in earnest, and immediately effects are there. So if somebody comes to the conclusion that I'm not getting the happiness, then I would review the 10 offenses and see, am I committing 1, 2, or 10 kinds of offenses? And I would say that if still someone is not satisfied, then I would say, then the best thing to jump start your spiritual life is to go out and preach. Go out and preach, and if you do that, Lord Chaitanya will certainly reciprocate, and you will feel the ecstasy. So, simply practice, simply do it, as the commercial says, just do it. If someone's not feeling ecstasy, they're not doing it properly. Therefore, go back to basics. Bhagavad Gita, nectar of instruction, and just start over again and begin hearing and chanting nicely. That's what I would say. Does that satisfy you? Anyone else have a question or a comment? Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.